glad that you're here. It's good to see each one of you, and appreciate that we have visitors today. We're especially glad that you're among us. We hope that you can come back tonight, if possible, at 6 o'clock. We'll meet again, and we want to be of any encouragement that we can possibly be to you, and know that your presence is certainly a source of encouragement and comfort to us. We want to encourage you, if you're not a Christian, to especially consider the condition of your soul and your life at this present moment in light of God's will and what God's Word says about sin and death and about the Redeemer. As we read, and Mike read for us, some things from the Gospel about the trial of Jesus and about the pleas and cries of crucify Him that He endured on the cross itself, that we might be saved. It's important that each of us understand the price that was paid so that we can be saved from our sins against God. Sin is real. Sin and its wages are death, Romans 6 and 23. And that's not about talking about physically dying, but an eternity of separation from God in the devil's hell. That's what that's talking about. A lot of people don't like to think about hell, and certainly don't want to believe there's such a thing as hell, such a place as hell. The Bible is very clear that such exists, just as surely as heaven is real. And so it is a choice that is made before each one of us. What do we want for ourselves throughout eternity? We will bear out that answer. We will reveal that answer in the way that we choose to live our lives here on earth. And so if you're not a Christian, understand and know that God is calling you through His Son, by His Gospel, to be saved from your sins, to be redeemed, and to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to be a citizen of heaven, and to live by faith each day in service to God. As God's people, it may be that there is sin in our life this morning. If so, we're called to repent and pray God's forgiveness, just as certainly as the one who's outside of Christ is called to believe in Christ and repent of sin, confess their faith, and be baptized into Christ in order to be saved from their past sins. If we have a need, if you have a need this morning, in light of God's Word and your spiritual condition, we hope you'll use the opportunity God is giving you to get right with Him. To be thankful that God has given us this moment, this day, that we can consider ourselves in light of His Word and will in eternity, that we may be right with Him. Parents, I hope that you're teaching your children to say please and to say thank you, to show gratitude for even the smallest things of life, because by teaching your children to say thank you, you're instilling within them a quality of character that, sadly, in many places around the globe, is lacking. To be thankful in heart for that which is received is a mark of character that we need to look at in terms of putting on the image of Christ. As we've been studying this series about building our character, especially from Colossians chapter 3 and putting on the image of Christ in Colossians 3 and verse 10, in the 15th verse, he says we're to be thankful. Gratitude is a mark of character. It's a mark of a recognition that what one receives and what one has in one's life is not from themselves, but from another. And of course, ultimately from God. On the other hand, ingratitude is a very ugly sin. It's ugliness. Because you see, it does not even recognize and show a respect for the giver of the blessing. It doesn't say thank you. And that's ugly. And that should not characterize us in any way, especially as Christians. It's ugly because it reveals human pride and an attitude of self-sufficiency that fails to consider just how dependent we are, not only on one another, but how dependent we are upon God. Ingratitude is the fruit borne by human wisdom and human self-indulgence. It's the fruit that is born out of a callous, hardened heart that looks inward rather than looking outward. We're impressed that this was noted in Romans 1:21. It should impress us and get our attention. When God has revealed His power and deity through the creation, He says that the Gentiles are without excuse. He says those who since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, that so that they are without excuse. That is, these that knew God and yet refused to acknowledge Him. He says they knew God, verse 21, but they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. We are impressed that one of the first things that people fail to do in their moving away from God is they fail to be thankful. If in our hearts we are people who do not give thought to, do not give time to being thankful toward others, we're on the same path. We're on a path that leads away from God rather than to God. In 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 2, Paul warns about just a series of sins of that day that continue to this very moment. And you see that among them is that they were unthankful. Verse 2. He says, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You see, parents, as you're teaching your children to say thank you, you're not only teaching them to be obedient to you, you're teaching them to recognize that they are the recipients of great things. And that for us to be unthankful is a great sin against God. A sin that will cause us to lose our souls forevermore. And so we need to count our blessings, because counting our blessings acknowledges God. It acknowledges God is the giver and we are the recipients. And it keeps that always before our minds. And it's not an afterthought. It's not something that we forget. It is on the tip of our lips. It is at the precipice of every thought that we have to be thankful for the things, the blessings that we have in our lives. And we'll talk more about understanding blessings momentarily. But Psalm 103, and beginning in verse 1, the Psalms are rich and full of acknowledging with thankfulness the blessings of God. And it says here in this particular one, 103 and 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Look at that. He says, soul, that is my life, blesses the Lord, thanks the Lord, recognizes Him, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. David says, there's not anything that's a part of me that does not turn to God and bless Him, thank Him, recognize Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David enumerates some of the blessings of his life. And he says, O my soul, bless God. Thank God. He's the one who gave you strength in your youth. He's the one who gives you mercy and loving kindness and forgives your sin and redeems you from destruction. He's the one who saves you. Do we see God in our daily lives? Do we see His hand at work? Do we see the blessings that abound toward us? I mean, really see them. I mean, have at the core of our soul thankfulness. That's the character we're talking about that God wants us to build within us as we show the image of Christ. Count your many blessings. You see, Psalm 100, for instance. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. And it is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Don't you see something there in verse 3? It is God who has made us. We didn't make ourselves. He's the one that deserves thanks, recognition, and adulation. We belong to Him. We are His people. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Not with a handout of expectation. Enter His courts with praises of thanks. You see? What is our concept? A lot of people's concept of God is He's there in case of an emergency. I learn to say, God help me. But to enter His courts daily and thank Him for where I am at this moment in my life means I'm going to have to open my eyes and see. I'm going to have to open my heart to God. I'm going to have to change my perspective. You see, thanksgiving is to be found in Zion, in the kingdom of the Messiah. In Isaiah 51, 1 through 3, in prophecy, the prophet Isaiah says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and the desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody in Zion." And we've come to Mount Zion, Hebrews 12 says. In Zion, in the kingdom of our Savior, is to be thanksgiving and songs of joy. You see, that requires of us that we recognize God's goodness and respond accordingly. And so, let peace rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, doesn't it? You see, we've been called in one body. We're the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. He says, so be thankful. Giving thanks is to be, therefore, the natural result of our life in Christ. Let's go over to Colossians 3. You see, in verse 3 it says, "For you died, and your life, that is a life that you now have, a life that is to be lived for Christ and not you, is hidden with Christ in God." You died to sin. Your life is to be with Christ in God. You are to put off the old man, in verse 10, put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. We're supposed to look like Jesus. When Jesus, we sang the song, "Night with Heaven Pinioned," and Jesus is in the garden in intense agony, praying, "Not my will, but thine be done." Do you think there was thankfulness on his heart? I do. And you say, how in the world could you be thankful at a time like that? He could be thankful, brother, because he knew his God was with him, his Father was with him. See, he was so committed that God's will be done, that even as he is doing God's will and things look their darkest, he knew victory was about to occur. He knew God's will would be done, and God's will would bring victory. You see, to be able to develop within us a character of thankfulness, even at the most at the darkest point of our life, is what we're being called to emulate Jesus.
this gratitude, this thanksgiving is the opposite of self-centeredness. Had Jesus been self-centered, he would have called down legions of angels to rescue him. If he had been consumed with arrogance and rebellion, he could have exalted himself on many occasions. But instead, with thankfulness springing out of love and joy and his commitment of praise and faith, you see, that's what we follow. That's what we're to imitate. That's where our thanks is to come from. And by the way, when we're thankful, we're content. You know, that contentment flows out of thankfulness. The Bible says, be anxious in nothing. It talks about being content and everything. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's because, among other things, we're able to be thankful. Because you know, when we're focused on what we're thankful for, what happens? Then the anxiety is relieved. The recognition of satisfaction is obtained. And we're content. We're content in God. We're content in Christ. We're content in faith. So when you're teaching your children to say thank you, you're teaching them to be content as well as being respectful. You're teaching them that they look outward to the giver with gratitude, with thankfulness. And that's what God wants from us. If not, if we're not thankful, what happens? We live anxious lives, driven by lust, never satisfied, never thankful. Even as that passage in 2 Timothy says, unloving, unthankful, unholy, you know, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, giving of thanks. So what does it mean to be thankful? Ephesians 5 and 20 says, giving thanks always and all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What it means to gratefully acknowledge the benefits we receive. A grateful acknowledgement of what we have received. Now, to accomplish that, it presupposes that we've reviewed the blessings we have received. We've given some thought. We've given some time. We've given some attention to just what the blessings are in our lives. One of the reasons we're not thankful is we don't take time to think about the blessings we have in the first place. You see, if we're going to have a character of thankfulness, it means at the same time that we're going to develop a point of view of life that recognizes and considers just how blessed we are. Look at Philippians 1 and 3. Paul is able to say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When he thought about the Philippian Christians, immediately thanksgiving came to mind. Thanksgiving was on his thoughts, was on his lips, was in his prayers. Always in every prayer, making requests for you with all joy. See, he is able to be thankful for the brethren in Philippi because he had on his mind just how much of a blessing they were to him and to the Lord. And you see, that's what's required if we're going to be thankful. Counting our many blessings is not just about singing a song and listing 1, 2, 3. It's about truly acknowledging what has been received and that they are from God. Every good and perfect gift is from God, James said. In contrast to Nebuchadnezzar, who walking about his palace saw it only as what he had done and how he had magnified himself for his name. In Daniel, the fourth chapter, and then in verse 30, the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon? And it was a wonder. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was magnificent. But he says, isn't this the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling place by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? He says, I built it for me. He said, it's my might, my power, my honor, my majesty. And God said, wait a minute, Nebuchadnezzar. You've forgotten a few things. And I'm going to teach it to you. So he made him as a beast of the field. You read through that text. You see, to be thankful means we're giving some attention already. Knowing what our blessings are from God and also knowing that we're not worthy of them. You know, part of thankfulness is also coming to grips with the realization that I don't deserve what I've been blessed with. You know, if we have an attitude, I deserve what I have, we're not going to be very thankful people. We're just not. Oh, we'll thank ourselves, which is rather arrogant, isn't it? But we won't be thankful toward God or others. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 13, see this with me. It says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. So Paul's thankfulness is in view here. Who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Paul said I wasn't worthy. I was a sinner. Chief among the sinners, he'll go on to say. But I obtained mercy. You see, he was thankful to Christ our Lord because he knew he didn't deserve the blessing of salvation and the appointment of apostleship that Christ gave him. Do we know that about ourselves? That we don't deserve the blessings we have? Or do we somehow or another think we're entitled? After all, we live in America. We're entitled. After all, we're free people. We're entitled. After all, we're not a third world country. We're entitled. We're not entitled to anything. If we're not recognizing that we're not worthy of what God blessed us with, how are we going to ever be thankful? Are you thankful? Or do you expect that whatever you have is just to be expected because of who you are? That's ugly thinking. It leads to an ugly sin of ingratitude, of unthankfulness. God says our character is to be different from that. Now we're to recognize how unworthy and yet how richly He blesses us. Then we get on the road. Then we're on the track toward being thankful people. When should we be thankful? Let me suggest to you, we ought to be thankful even before the blessing comes. In other words, we ought to have a mindset that recognizes and honors God and the presence of God, His character and His promises toward us. Now what I mean by that is illustrated in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The enemies of Judah had mustered their forces against him. Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, and had amassed a great army in the southern regions of Judah to attack Judah. And the people are fearful and afraid what's going to happen. And in the course of that text, Jehoshaphat says in verse 12, who is king of Judah, O my God, will you not judge them? As he's referring to these, to the Ammonites and Moabites and Mount Seir, which is the Edomites. Will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. I ask myself, Joe, are your eyes upon God? As we face times in our lives, we don't know what to do. And I wonder, are our eyes on God? Or do we put our eyes on something less? Something inferior? Something not as powerful? Maybe we put it on our job. Maybe we put it on our fun. Maybe we put it on money. Maybe we put it on our family or our friends or ourselves. But you see, to be thankful people,
We put our eyes on God and expecting whatever the situation that we're facing at the moment in our life, God will work it out to be a blessing, and so I am thankful to Him for it.
Yeah, right. You're thankful for that broken shoulder, aren't you? Well, you know, it frustrates me, but there's some lessons I can take from it, and hopefully I can learn from it. So yeah, there's some things to be thankful for. You see, if we're not able to see a point of thankfulness even in the trials of our life, then are we really thankful people? Or have we conditioned ourselves to only be thankful when something good comes?
And fail to see with expectation that even in the trials, there's a blessing.
If we'll see it and use it. See, Jesus said,
I'll in no wise fail you, neither will I in any wise forsake you. And God did not forsake Judah. He gave them a great victory. He defeated their enemies. Expectation, even before the blessing comes. When were we thankful? Of course, when we received it. Paul, when he saw the brethren coming out to meet him at Rome, on his way to Rome, was thankful. He saw at work in that very moment the blessing coming. And he notes it there. Luke notes the record of it in Acts 28:15. In Romans 8:28,
says, all things. We know, he says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Everything works together for good. But you see, if we're not looking outward and expecting God's purposes to be accomplished and conforming ourselves to His will, then we think things are not going to work out for good. Our faith is diminished, our thankfulness is lessened, and we're not showing the image of Christ in our character. We ought to be thankful after the blessing comes as well, shouldn't we? You know, after the great victory of crossing the Red Sea and the destruction of Pharaoh's armies, there was a great song of thanks and celebration of victory. Exodus 15:1, the Song of Moses. Daniel 2:23, when God gave him the dream and the interpretation of it that would save the lives of many people in Babylon. Because Nebuchadnezzar told those wise men, said, I'm going to kill you unless you give me the dream I had and the interpretation of it. When God gave that to Daniel, Daniel thanked Him for it. When 10 lepers were healed by Jesus, one of them returned, the Samaritan, and gave thanks to God. Jesus told him, your faith has made you whole. You see, thankfulness is a part of faith. Faith in God. Could it be that we're not showing thanks the way we should? And that's why our faith is weak? You see, that's what he said. Faith is connected to thankfulness. We're to always give thanks. Before, during, and after. Because our faith is set on God. What are we thankful for? Well, we're thankful for everything, aren't we? I'm going to go through this rather quickly.
But I want you to note something specifically. Paul was thankful in his chains, in his bonds.
You know, he was in prison in Rome, and yet he says it's turned out for the progress of the gospel. He was able to see in his circumstance of trial blessings. He was able to see that the gospel was being furthered. Souls there in the palace were being affected, saved. Chapter 4 and 22 says, greet every saint in Christ. The brethren who are with me greet you. In verse 22, all the saints greet you, especially those that are of Caesar's household. Because Paul had been imprisoned and taken to Rome, people in Caesar's household had been saved by the gospel. Paul's thankful. We can be thankful, not just thankful for everything, but you see, in saying I'm thankful for everything, remember, that's just not the good things. Sometimes it's the hard things. Sometimes it's the things that otherwise would get us down and get us discouraged. But we remain thankful because even in that trial, there's a blessing. And it is faith that helps us see the blessing. That's why we're to in everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Thank God for His attributes and His works. We read that in 103 Psalm, and other Psalms are similar. We thank God for His salvation and His Son. We thank Him for the church, for His word of truth, for His judgments. You see, we thank Him for what He has done, who He is and what He has done. Thank Him for our brethren, for our family, for our food, 1 Timothy 4:4. For all men. Thankful for God's mercies and thankful for our memories. Paul said, I thank God when I remember you. Thankful for our brethren, you see, in everything, give thanks. That's the nature, that's the character God wants us to be within ourselves. How are we to give thanks? He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the means of all that we receive. Every spiritual blessing, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so whatever we do in word and deed, we do it in His name. We recognize He is the means. We give thanks by our words. We give thanks by our lives. In Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, it says, therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So you see, with our lips, verse 15, and with our lives, verse 16, we acknowledge the blessings of God and show gratitude. We give thanks to His name, to His power, that He is the one who is granting the blessing. See, as we live in sacrifice and service, as we pray, as we sing, as we worship, we give thanks to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so we lift our voices to Him, not limited to exclusively the Father. Remember, Paul said, I thank my Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. See, the Godhead is deserving of our gratitude. He is the first cause, God, deity, of all the blessings we have, having created us, sustaining us, and providing us salvation from our sins. Be thankful to God in everything. In gratitude, go with me as we close this by looking at 2 Timothy again for just a moment. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and following, 1 through 4 and 5. Look what ingratitude reveals. It reveals pride and selfishness. It reveals an attitude of self-sufficiency rather than dependence upon God and the recognition of blessings. It is defined by self-love rather than loving God and others. So, you see, it really reveals a whole lot of other sins, and really to unthankfulness is associated with additional sins. Look, in verse 2, lovers of themselves. I'm loving myself more than I'm loving you. I'm not going to give much attention to what you do or anything that might come from you. I'm going to define it all in terms of myself and me. And that's a sin. Lovers of money, again, rather than recognizing that every good blessing is from God and that money itself is a blessing from God to be used for His honor and the advancement of good things, we become boasters. Well, you know, if you're a thankful person, you're not a boaster, are you? You're thankful. You're not boasting in yourself, not boasting like Nebuchadnezzar. But you see, if I'm sinning by being unthankful, then I get wrapped up in myself and boasting in myself and proud and blasphemer, speaking against God and others. disobedient to parents. You see, disobedience to parents is connected with being unthankful. Because when I disobey my parents, children, it means that I'm not displaying thankfulness toward them. When I disobey God, it means I'm not showing thankfulness to God. That's why parents teach your children to be thankful. Because you're teaching them to be thankful to God, not just you. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Now look at that. Someone who is thankful does not despise good, but acknowledges the good. Is grateful for the good. But he's describing people here who despise the good. They hold the good in contempt. They cannot see the good because they are not thankful in their heart. And in that sin, they lose their souls. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away.
Yes, ingratitude spawns many, many additional sins connected with being unthankful. Our character in Christ is to be thankfulness.
And so be thankful. Practice gratitude. Now, he says be thankful. It's not that we merely possess gratitude, but we express the gratitude. We express the thankfulness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let's challenge ourselves today, and then tomorrow, and the day after that, and following. Let's challenge ourselves to open our eyes and see for what we can be thankful. But more than that, let us then challenge ourselves to express the gratitude, to say thank you, and then let's go beyond that, to not just say thank you, but then let us live the gratitude. Let us practice the thankfulness so that thankfulness becomes our character, becomes who we are in word and in deed. If your life is such right now, this morning, that you know the way you've been living has not shown gratitude and thankfulness to God for His blessings to you, that can be remedied. God is a merciful God and He is ready to bless with redemption in His Son. You can become a Christian this morning. What better way of showing thankfulness to God than putting your trust in His Son and your faith in Him to do His will, that He will save you from your sins, and thank Him for that salvation. If this morning, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then we urge you to act on that faith and confess it, to repent of your sin against God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your past sins. Jesus will add you to His church, to that one body. You can be thankful. Thankful for your redemption, for your salvation. As God's people, if we've not been living thankful lives, let us repent of that. Let us change our hearts into hearts of gratitude. Let us change our conduct so that we reflect the good works, and knowing that every good gift is from God, and in every situation of our lives we'll work to good, because God's purposes will prevail in our lives. And so let us repent of every sin, pray His forgiveness, and He'll grant it. If we can help you toward that end, we urge you to respond to the gospel while we stand and sing.